Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
Mike Yam. Mike, how are you?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm upset. Yes. It's DMAC with Chad Brown. I am a big fan of yours because I am obsessed with the Pac-12 Network and I see all the time. So I'll just say that.
I appreciate that. But by the way, you preface it that way, and I know what I feel.
I'm not mad at you, but Chad was like, "Let's get Mike on," and I like you. I watch you all the time, but I'm ticked off. We're just getting the news right now. The Pac-12 is only going to play conference play. And, of course, I go into the Taj Mahal of broadcasting that exists in San Francisco instead of the studio you should be in Provo. And I get upset that decisions are being made and CU can't play CSU because of this idiotic ruling, whereas Arizona can play Arizona State and the hotbed of the Rona. So
yeah.
I'm putting you on the spot here because you work for the Pac-12 Network, but you want to explain this one to me?
All right, so that aspect is very logical, and I totally understand where you're coming from, because I think if you look across the board and you say, hey, conference play, it sounds well and good until you realize, you know, we had conference realignment a couple of years ago. So when that happens, the spread of your teams around the country is pretty significant. And it's not just the Pac-12 thing that you made reference to with Colorado State and CU, for example. I mean, I think you can go across to the Big Ten. You can look at some schools in the SEC, certainly in the Big 12. There's a lot of real estate in between some of the schools in those respective conferences. So while I understand where you're coming from, and I think from a logical standpoint, it makes sense, I think where some of the issues then sort of lie, how do you go and manage other schedules for conference teams that may not have the ability to have a non-conference matchup like the one that you're referring to? Now, I do think
boo-hoo! My explanation to you is boo-hoo! That's your problem. It shouldn't be our problem. And I don't know if Utah plays BYU this year. I don't know if that's a normal rivalry, but they shouldn't be punished for it either.
Yeah, look, and I agree with you. The only problem is, what do you do when you evaluate numbers of games and then competition for a playoff committee? Which, by the way, hey, here's the other thing to say here. This decision is buying time for science to come up with more antivirals. And Lord knows, I mean, God, I don't think there's anyone, you know, looking for a vaccine more than me because I haven't had a haircut since March. But, you know, I would tell you, like, this is, you know, it's hard. Like, how do you go ahead for certain schools in a conference, or even go ahead if your other conferences? Look, the fact that the Big Ten has already come out and said it, and now you're seeing the Pac-12 go and do that, to me, this is screaming that the rest of the Power Fives have to go sort of fall in line. The biggest surprise to me came yesterday when the Big Ten makes that announcement ahead of everyone else. I'm thinking to myself, yo, these college commissioners, they're on a call almost daily. How do they not go lockstep in making an announcement like that? So, once again, I understand because I can hear it in your voice, just sort of the fandom that you have. And look, we're all there. I want to see it. I still don't even know if we get fall football at this point. And I hate to be the guy that says that, but I think all of this stuff is just buying time to have to make a decision. The fact that the Ivy League already canceled its fall sports, FCS programs are going to be greatly affected by this, G5 programs as well. I totally get what you're saying, but like, I'll take it a step further. Like, what happens if you're a Group of Five team or an FCS team that was relying on a couple $1 million to fund your athletic program?
And there's that too.
That's a huge, huge issue.
Right. Like, we had UNC, University of Northern Colorado, played Washington State last year, and they got killed. Yeah. Okay, fine. But, I mean, that's a big-time game for those kids up in Greeley, and I'm sure there's dozens of examples of that, and this is...
I called Utah New Mexico State last year. I mean,
I'm sure that was a big deal for New Mexico State.
Yeah, right.
Right? But New Mexico now, you can't... I mean, the state of New Mexico has banned contact sports,
and right.
We learned soccer is a contact sport. All right, listen, sorry, Chad, this is your pal, and I'm hogging all this.
No, so. I mean, there's really not a whole lot to ask here. I mean, the point of bringing you on, Mike, was just to try to provide some kind of understanding of the thinking behind this rule.
Sure.
Because upon first thought, you go, how come Utah can't play BYU? Why can't Colorado play Colorado State? How does this make any sense?
Sure.
And the only thing I could come up with was within the conferences, you can come up with a set of rules that all your partners within the conference are all going to follow those sets of rules. So when USC shows up at Utah, they know what to expect. It's all been agreed upon. And everybody knows what the rules are. But past that, I couldn't make much sense of it. So we thought, well, let's bring Mike on and maybe he can illuminate this for us.
Well, number one, and by the way, man, I miss you, dude. It's been a while since you and I've been
able to catch up. Yes, I'd love to be here with you as well.
I wish we were having a better conversation or certainly a different conversation. But look, I mean, I think if you take the macro view, one of many issues right now is there is not one leader for college football right now that can mandate across the board. And I'd make an argument just sort of like the NCAA in general is in a lot of ways sort of dropped the ball here because you know, if there was, and look, I know I'm speaking out of turn here, but I've seen some of the public comments from student athletes that have been saying like, hey guys, like I want to be able to go home and hug my mom. And if you don't have protocol that everyone universally, at the Division I level is following, like how safe is it? Now to get back to the scheduling thing for a second, I can't tell you for sure, but I would imagine that some schools have had the conversations just in case there was limited travel. Like if you're a school like UCLA or USC, because you guys use the CU Colorado State example or Utah BYU, like what would stop USC and UCLA to go matching up against, I don't know, San Diego State, for example.
Why not?
Or a Fresno.
Right.
Like there are those matchups that are in state.
You can do.
I just don't know, guys, like logistically, and this sounds like the biggest cop out, and I don't mean to make it sound like a cop out because it's easy for me to say, yo, line up the games. There's enough in-state matchups where you're literally driving. You're not even getting onto a plane that can mitigate this thing. And then maybe you take it a step further. And this is, look, I've been so disappointed. Chad, you and I have had these conversations as well. The fact that we're talking about a 14 playoff is ridiculous. And maybe this was the year we could say legitimately, hey, guys, let's expand this bad boy. And it's a one-time deal to give us a sense, but it also is a little bit of an equalizer here because maybe some schools and some student athletes don't feel comfortable making the trip from, I don't know, Tucson, Arizona to Boulder or pick, you know, a location that's really far away. And you set up some of these other matchups to give yourself, I don't know, just more safety protocol, more comfort for a lot of these student athletes, their families, the coaching staffs as well. And we figure out a way to assess these teams for the playoff. Once again, logistical nightmare. I'm not saying that it can't be done. I'm sure that was discussed, but maybe because we don't have one person dictating, or I shouldn't say one person, a committee, across the board for all college sports, maybe that's part of the reason why guys, like we don't get a CU Colorado State game, for example.
All right, Mike. I didn't mean to yell at you. I really do want.
I get it, man. Like I'm bummed too. Like I saw that press release. I'm thinking to myself, you got to be kidding me here. Like I know you weren't surprised when you got this news. I wasn't surprised. I think once the Big Ten had made their decision, the Ivy League, you know, a couple days ago, like it made sense. Like everyone was
going
to fall.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's all right. You get me going here a little bit because not every state, like Michigan and Michigan State, are both in the Big Ten. The, you know, Arizona State are both in the Pac-12. We have a unique thing here in Colorado. Really, we have Colorado, CSU, Wyoming, and Air Force, okay? And, you know, it feels just, again, like, you know, other people, other places, because they've got other problems. Really, does anybody know the Mountain Time Zone exists? It's just another one of these issues, like, all right, I'm going to stop yelling. Listen, the important thing is, on the Pac-12 app, can I still see beach volleyball highlights from the past few years?
Can I just tell you that I've made a concerted effort for the last few years to ask to cover some beach volleyball?
I bet you have.
I have been denied pretty consistently.
The greatest thing on the Pac-12 app is the beach volleyball. And they cover it.
Kudos to you for dropping that. That is next level viewership expertise that you're displaying right now.
All right, thanks, Mike.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Bye. I'll tell you really quick. The reason I know my son, who's a senior, is an executive director of the 942 crew at ASU. So,
they're one of the best student groups in the entire conference. Let's get fired up. Let's get the current distraction going. Let's get some real football in the fall.
All right, thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Oh. You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC. First
Bank. Banking for good.